This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Errol Laborde is a Mardi Gras historian. He is the producer of Informed Sources on WYES-TV, and he was the man who had the brainchild of giving us something fun and fantastic on Lundi Gras by having Rex, the king of carnival, arrive to greet his loyal subjects, issue his decree that, among other things, says revelry shall rule both day and night, and have the mayor concur and then launch fireworks over the Mississippi River. That's scheduled to happen this evening. So I want to talk to Errol and talk about the genesis of this event and what we'll see this year. Hey, Errol, happy Lundi Gras.
Yeah, happy so far.
The weather today is perfect. Looks like it's going to be great for partying on the riverfront all day out at Spanish Plaza waiting for Rex's arrival, or if you want to go do the Zulu Riverfront Festival at Waldenburg Park or in Rivertown in Kenner. Looks like great weather for all that and tonight's parades. Maybe tomorrow not so much, but let's first focus on this evening. What was it that gave you the idea of making this ceremonial arrival of the King of Carnival?
Well, it was Mardi Gras. I remember the moment. It was Mardi Gras 1985, and I was standing with some friends outside of Gallia Hall waiting for the produce parade, which I always love produce. It's a good old-fashioned parade. And it was a kind of a drizzly night, and the captain passed by, who I knew, and they shook hands with him. And he said, man, there's nobody out here. I mean, he sounded so sad. And that night before Mardi Gras had been sort of like a low attendance night because there wasn't anything other than the produce parade. There wasn't that much activity. So there really needed to be something on the night before Mardi Gras. So the year before had been the World's Fair. And in the World's Fair, they built the International Pavilion. And I'd gotten to know those people, you know, through being in the media, who were involved with the World's Fair and the public relations. And so I went to a meeting in the Mardi Gras Planning Committee, and I said, look, if we can bring back, there used to be a tradition of Rex arriving by boat on the day before Mardi Gras. If we can get Rex to agree to do that again, would the committee support it? And we know would the city support it? And he said, well, yeah, let's try. And so we went to the people at the Riverwalk, and they agreed. I mean, they never heard of the idea before, but Riverwalk was owned by the Rouse Corporation, not the grocery store, but this is a company out of Baltimore that likes to do urban things and urban settings. And so they agreed to it. And we went back to Rex, and they said, you know, they'll do it, man, if you do your landing. Rex's captain says, we'll do it, only one condition. It can't be in a commercial boat. Because Rex has a non-commercial tradition. It says it has to be in a Coast Guard cutter. So if the Coast Guard's in, we're in. And so Rex has the power that they can command the Coast Guard, I guess. And so they called the Coast Guard. Coast Guard said, we'll do it. And so all of a sudden that day, that week, the Coast Guard, I guess, became the official Navy of Mardi Gras. And so the event was scheduled. Oh, yeah, and we mentioned, I said, one thing, we'll call this thing Lundi Gras. I said, what? We'll call it Lundi Gras. Well, what's a Lundi Gras? I said, well, you know how Mardi Gras means Fat Tuesday? Lundi Gras means Fat Monday. Okay.
Wait, hang on. I'm going to pause you there because I've heard your story before, but I don't remember that part. So you actually, before 1985, the term Lundi Gras was not used in New Orleans to refer to the day before Fat Tuesday. You decided that that would be part of the whole plan to try and increase interest in having festivities and fun on the day before Fat Tuesday.
Yeah, it wasn't used at all. There are some obscure references, like in some of the Creole traditions, being they spoke French, that they referred to as Lundi, but the event wasn't called Lundi Gras. It didn't have that name at all. And so once I took off, though, but the name really took off, and I was amazed how quickly it took off. And so the idea of Lundi Gras was just supposed to be something to denote the fact that breakfast is going to arrive, but it really became a name for a big event, which also included two other elements. It included, because we went back to produce, the freight didn't have anybody, and we said, look, if you can change your route, where when you get to St. Charles and Poitras, loop around to Poitras and go as far as Riverwalk, loop back, then maybe the people who were there to see the Rex arrival can also see you. And they said, okay, well, we'll try it. And they tried it, and it went for a few years, and then it worked out well. It brought a new crowd out there. But the big thing also, and we asked, because there wasn't any money in this, wasn't any budget, we asked the Rouse people, could you build a stage? Could you host this event? Could you get a band? And one more thing, could you put on a fireworks show? And they said, well, okay. At that moment, okay, since 1985, there had never been fireworks associated with Mardi Gras. It's amazing. I mean, you think fireworks and Mardi Gras would go together. And so they arranged it. And then that night, I remember that night standing on the stage and seeing this Coast Guard cutter come. And the Coast Guard also has a military escort band, and so they escorted Rex. And to our surprise, the Rex people had designed a whole new costume for Rex. It was like a nautical-themed costume. It was like what the king would have worn if they would have been sailing in the 1700s. I mean, it was a beautiful costume that designed particularly for that. And so to see that costume and to see the event, and people came, and we had a good crowd. And then finally, the mayor, I think that was Mayor Bethami at the time, the mayor loved the idea, and so you had the mayor out there and they give a proclamation. But then the real thing came a few years later. Zulu, like within 2 years, saw what was going on the riverfront, and he said, okay, well, we want to do this too, all right? And Zulu talked to the Rex people, and they said, okay, you all are doing this at Riverwalk. What if we can get the Audubon Zoo at the aquarium to host us? Well, they said, okay, let's see what happens. Well, they call you out. Well, this is the kind of thing that Ron Foreman would jump on, all right? And so they arranged. So by the next year, you had Zulu arriving at 5, and then the Rex arriving at 6, and the Rex captain helped Zulu get a Coast Guard cutter, too. And so you had the Coast Guard that's kind of going back. In fact, I think they're using the same cutter the first couple of years, which is causing a little bit of a problem because sometimes the Zulu wants to ride around a little late. But anyway, the spirit was there. And then one year, I think it was 90 or something like that, that there was a king of Zulu, a guy named Myron Moorhead, who was a doctor. And he was all over the place. He wanted to make this the biggest moment ever. And he called the Rex people and said, look, what if when we arrive, if Zulu would come and greet Rex? So the Rex people talked about it, and they debated. And the debate had nothing to do with social issues. It had more to do with logistics. I mean, how would you get Zulu from one spot to the other with the entourage? But anyway, they worked it all out. And that night, when word got out that they would have a meeting of Zulu and Rex, it became a national story. I was amazed. I think the New York Times did it. But for that event, I remember a Los Angeles TV station sent a crew to see this event. And I think that they thought this was the first time that a black person and a white person ever met each other in New Orleans. And I tried to explain to them, these guys have been meeting together for years. And I was, anyway, the crowd was there. You know, people knew it was going to happen. And so we were on stage, and Rex did his arrival. And then we kind of teased a little bit. We kind of teased as though we didn't know what was going to happen. But we said, ladies and gentlemen, we've just gotten the message that a mysterious dignitary is coming on his way to greet Rex. And we teased, this dignitary is on his way. We'll see who he is. Well, the crowd was just going crazy. That moment when Zulu walked on stage, and he was dressed in the African regalia, which is just so visual and so exciting. And so the idea of Zulu coming on stage and then Rex and the two hugging each other, and the mayor likes this, and they're all hugging and dancing together. Just,
and what year was this?
I think it was been like 87.
Yeah. Okay, so this was long before the whole Dorothy May Taylor city council anti-discrimination Mardi Gras ordinance, before there was what some may have called forced integration of crews, that Rex and Zulu were embracing each other on night before Fat Tuesday.
And people just loved it. I mean, it became, I remember the Picayune did an editorial cartoon that showed the Mississippi River Bridge, you know, cartoon style, and a Rex caricature on one side and the Zulu caricature on the other side, and both of them like toasting each other. And so that was really, to me, one of the great moments of Mardi Gras history. And they've done it every year since, and the crowd just is, the crowd still goes crazy over it, and it's just good now. You know, if you watch the Rex Ball, which we Channel 12 were involved with, that we always have Zulu there at the Rex Ball, and so it was a good moment. And so that was something that came out of the event that wasn't even anticipated. I mean, the whole idea was to try to develop more of a crowd for Proteus, and then ultimately, but and so it's the spiraling of it, and then eventually Zulu really got into this. And they said, well, as long as we're doing the landing, why don't we have a festival, too? So Zulu has created, this is Zulu's event, they've created this festival, which is going on right now, which is along the riverfront.
Yeah.
And so they do an all-day festival, and so it's just, it's grown, and Kindred does some kind of variation of it and all that. But the fact that, you know, with the whole thing with Rex and Zulu, and also I think the moment with the fireworks is just a great moment. And they always play Mardi Gras music in the back, you know, and like, Professor Longhair stuff, it's really good, and thank goodness the weather's going to be good tonight.
Yeah, so the festivals are already underway, the bands are already playing at the riverfront, at the Zulu Festival, and at Spanish Plaza, and that all leads up to the 5 o'clock arrival of Zulu, the 6 o'clock arrival of Rex via Coast Guard Cutter, then more festivities, fun, fireworks, and all of that. You're listening to the man who came up with the idea in 1985, during a very boring Proteus parade, to try and pump some life into the Monday before Fat Tuesday. And look at what we've got now. Three riverfront festivals between downtown New Orleans and Kenner. Not to mention Orpheus, which joined the parade lineup just 9 years later in 1994, adding to the fun and festivities, coining the phrase Lundi Gras. Earl LaBorde, you should be proud. Yeah. You have made this day really a day of celebration and fun and a whole lot going on with just an idea you had sitting there at Gallier Hall in 1985. When we get back, I'm going to talk to Earl about the cancellation of parades. It's been very rare in New Orleans that Fat Tuesday parades have been canceled. It could happen. A meeting starts in 5 minutes for the National Weather Service, Homeland Security, and the New Orleans Police Department to meet with the mayor and decide if they're going to parade tomorrow with the threat of severe weather and high winds. When we come back, I'll ask Errol if there's ever been a cancellation of Mardi Gras due to weather before. We'll find out after this here on WWL. I'm Dave Cohen, in for Newell Norman. I welcome your thoughts and comments, questions at 504-260-1870 and the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. If you were the police chief or the mayor, what would you do about tomorrow's parades? We'll hear from you as well as Errol after this.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Newell's getting ready to ride in Orpheus tonight. Go on out with this perfect weather and see that amazing parade and wave at Newell Norman. Maybe he'll throw you something. I'm Dave Cohen filling in for him. Errol Laborde is with us, a Mardi Gras historian and the man who had the idea to make today into a huge day of fun and festivities. And it really has blossomed since that day in 1985 when he thought, gosh, Monday is boring. No one even comes out to the Proteus Parade. How can we spice this up? And now we expect to have hundreds of thousands of people along the riverfront today at three different celebrations and lining the parade route this evening to see all the fun and festivities, not just with Proteus, but also with the supercrew of Orpheus. Right now, a meeting is getting underway as we speak between the National Weather Service, the New Orleans Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, the New Orleans Police Department, the crews of Rex and Zulu, as well as the truck parade leaders, as they're looking at what should they do with the threat of severe weather moving in early tomorrow with high winds, then later leading to thunderstorms, lightning, and rain. Errol, have Fat Tuesday parades in New Orleans ever been canceled due to weather?
Yeah, but I don't remember the weather reason being winds and gusts. I mean, usually it was rain, you know, lots of rain. And so that's happened. Not very often. It has happened, but parades have been canceled for all kinds of reasons, though. The most recent was, what, in 22, and that was because of COVID. You know, everything was canceled, and of course, enough. In 1979, the police strike, that the parades in New Orleans were canceled. And then during the war years, during World War II, and I think 2 years during the Korean years, the Korean War, that they were canceled. And so there has been a precedent for cancellations. One of the famous incidents, speaking of Proteus, was in 1899. There was a freeze, and they paraded on the Monday, the day before Mardi Gras, like today is, and the temperature was in the single digits. And so they decided that, you know, they couldn't parade. And so they rescheduled it for later in the week, which is unusual, because the whole thing about Mardi Gras is that this is the, you know, the celebration before the solemn season of Lent. And Lent begins Wednesday. And so it's unusual to have carnival parades after Lent begins. But they did, I think it was that Friday. And so they put on the parade. It wasn't very successful because nothing was geared up to having a parade. People, it was a work day for everybody. All the tourists had left. And so they didn't have a very big crowd for that. So that, at least that was an unusual thing. And I guess it's still possible. It sounds like that's what the Orcus is doing, that they're going to, you know, we're going to take a parade and we're going to move it, you know, with St. Patrick's Day parade. You know, I guess it's possible that they could reschedule rest. It would be very, very unusual. And I don't think it's ever happened.
It would take a change in ordinance. The city council would have to get involved because currently the ordinance does not allow for postponement of any parades after Fat Tuesday. So they'd have to change the law. And, you know, also you think about, and the crowds probably wouldn't be as big if they rescheduled it, but everything that goes into it in terms of bringing sheriff's deputies and marshals and constables and law enforcement from many agencies outside of Orleans Parish to provide the security for the parades, it would be a monumental task. And Jefferson Parish, you know, they have another parade coming up March 23rd. They said combine those parades. But also we heard the parish president say that, you know, the sheriff's department in Jefferson can handle the crowds. Even when they have a million people on Fat Tuesday, they have a much more robust number of deputies than do the NOPD in terms of officers at this historic low level of NOPD staffing. So much easier to reschedule in Jefferson Parish for a number of reasons. I'm guessing if they don't roll tomorrow, Rex Zulu and the truck parades will never roll if they don't roll tomorrow.
Yeah, there's also a thing about the bands, like the Texas A&M Marching Group, which has been part of the Rex Parade for years. You know, I don't think Texas A&M can just come back, you know, next Saturday or anything. And so it'll probably be going. And, you know, it's really a shame because it's a beautiful parade. The theme was the Belle Epoque, which is the French term for that period of time between the 1871 and the beginning of World War One in 1914, but it was a period of peace. There wasn't any war going on, and so people were just exploring and enjoying life, and artists were doing great art, scientists were doing great science, and it's about that period of time, and it's really nicely done parade. And it was during that period in 1872 when Rex was formed. And you can see the influence in Rex, because if you look at the kind of themes they have really esoteric sort of themes. They call themselves the School of Design. I mean, these are people who are really looking for artistry in carnival. Instead of doing something, you know, like Rex goes to the circus or something. And so that theme has been carried out. And you can also see it in the in Orpheus tonight, too. So it'd be sad if people can't see it. And I guess the Rex people could hold it for next year.
Yeah, well, yeah, that'd be an interesting question, and I don't know what, and I don't know if that's something that's readily discoverable. But yeah, if they don't parade, do they just keep the theme? Since no one ever saw it on the streets, do they just keep the floats? Yeah. That would be interesting. I'm guessing float builders would not like that because, well, that's what they do for the next 11 months after this parade is they build the next parade.
Yeah, it's gonna be a loss of revenue for the. For the float builders, who, by the way, are doing a great job. I mean, and so now the float builders, this is the Jakey company that's building them now. They also do things in Mobile, but I guess there's going to be bad weather in Mobile also. So it would be a bad loss, but it's a beautiful parade. And this is going to also be the year where they're going to move the reviewing stand to
Pascal's Manali,
but Pascal's Manali, I can say that would have been an interesting experiment still.
Have you heard anything from anyone yet? We're waiting, you know, that we know that meeting just got started, but did you, before anyone went into the meeting, had you talked to anyone either in the Rex organization or at the city on the Mayor's Mardi Gras Advisory Council or anyone else to get any indication of what they might be considering?
No, because I know they're just all involved with that. And two of the key people on the advisory council are the captain of Rex and the president of Zulu. They have served as also the co-chairs of the Mardi Gras advisory committee. And so two people with parades tomorrow are chairing the advisory committee. And so they're right in the thick of it. And I know it's going to just be painful for him to do that.
Yeah, we talked to James Reese. Last hour, we talked to James Reese, executive vice president with the Rex organization. And, you know, he stressed safety is clearly their most important concern, but he was hoping that they can roll. But also, it sounded like he was ready to accept if the decision was made that it's just not safe, that they wouldn't do it, but stressed that they have structurally sound floats. And he feels like they can handle wind. It's rain and lightning that would obviously be big issues. And they, depending on the timing, it looks like they could be off the streets before any of that started, particularly maybe, and some people have texted in and suggested, well, pull some of the bands, pull the dancing teams, and get Rex done more quickly. And maybe, just maybe, it'd be safe to do it under those conditions.
Like what they did earlier this week, we had a lot of rain last Sunday, and they rescheduled the parades, but no bands, and they just had the parades flow. Or the floats go by. It would be great for the public to be able to see this, but they're going to have to, the public's going to have to be willing to go out in the wind, too. And so, that at least because of Lindy Braw, that both Zulu and Rex will be able to make a public appearance before a crowd, and they could do that today. And so at least they'll have that that part of it.
Yeah.
But it would be a big loss if it doesn't parade. And yeah, they could hold it for next year, and that'll be a big loss to the float builders. But it's part of the roll of the dice at Carnival.
Yeah, you know, and you said that this whole idea of Lundi Gras and being such a big day grew out of a boring parade that you were standing and watching in 1985 as Proteus rolled by. Well, maybe Proteus and Orpheus will have their biggest crowds ever tonight if they do have to cancel tomorrow's parades. I got to imagine a lot of people who are planning to come out tomorrow may come out tonight instead.
Yeah, and then let me just pause. I went through that parade in 85. The parade wasn't boring. It's just that there was no tradition of people going to parades the night before Mardi Gras. That was the night you stayed home and you fried your chicken. I mean, and there was no activity other than that one parade. And so there was nothing that was bringing people out. And so the combination of the whole package, you know, with the Rex arrival and the fireworks and everything else, and that coupled with with Cronus made it into a big night.
Yeah, I didn't want to suggest the parade itself was boring. I meant the atmosphere because so few people were out there. But now, huge crowds will line the routes. Either way, whether they cancel the parades tomorrow or not.
Yeah, the night was boring, okay, but now also you have Orpheus. You have Orpheus, too, so you have a lot of incentive for people to go out now. And plus, there's more tourists. I mean, there's more hotels in the area. And so there's more people that can just, you know, walk out the hotel door and see all this.
Yeah, you know, and you mentioned earlier how excited the world got and everybody seemed to be so enthralled by the meeting of Rex and Zulu because of the race issues that surrounded that, having the historically black king of Zulu and the historically white king Rex embracing and greeting and toasting one another. Well, also on Lundi Gras now, you have Orpheus, which is the only co-ed supercrew which welcomed men and women to ride when Harry Connick Jr. had the idea of further increasing what was happening on the Monday before Fat Tuesday.
Yeah, he was inspired. And actually, yeah, because he had been in Bacchus and experienced what it was like being Bacchus, he wrote it. But you know, the thing about these two parades tonight, which I always find interesting, I love the Cronies Parade because it's an old-style parade. They do the old-style floats. It's really a pretty parade. The Proteus King's float, where you got this king riding on this shell, this pink seashell. I think it's just a great king's float. But Orpheus is very artistic too. That they in Orpheus you have a modern parade, a modern supercrew, but with the old style techniques and the old style passion. And so you see two parades from two different eras, but both of them with leadership that's committed to put a lot of design quality. In Orpheus, you can see a lot of flowers on the side. Not real flowers, but kind of
the paper
like
mache,
cardboard flowers. But they flutter with the, the floats waddle along. And so it's a very great visual parade.
Talking with Errol Laborde, Mardi Gras historian, and the man whose idea it was to turn Lundi Gras into what we now call Lundi Gras with the arrival of Rex at Spanish Plaza, coming in on Coast Guard Cutter, and the everything that has grown, the dominoes that have all fallen to make today a huge day full of celebrations from early in the morning till late at night. Errol, anything else you want to share before we let you run? I know you got a long day today. You'll be out at Spanish Plaza tonight, and of course everyone can watch you on WYES Channel 12 as you and your lovely wife Peggy Laborde will announce the Rex Ball tomorrow night.
Well, the thing I was thinking about Mardi Gras, and I think we can especially feel it this year, is that there have been several years when something bad happened in the city and people were just uncertain about the city and being out in the streets, and then Carnival would come and it went well and people were able to regain their confidence in the city and regain whatever emotional feeling they have. And certainly this year got off to an awful start from what happened on January 1st. And so the fact that we have this carnival fairly early in the year, it reminds me of the year the Howard Johnson sniping incident that happened on January 7th, where there was a lot of people that known, they thought this was part of a national conspiracy. People were really afraid, but Carnival came and was successful. And so there have been many times at Carnival, the year after Katrina, should we be doing this anymore? Is this irrelevant? And that Carnival has helped rebuild confidence in the city. And so for all else that it does, I think that's maybe the most important thing that it does.
You know, that's interesting. Yeah, 1973 with the Howard Johnson incident, and then 2006 after Hurricane Katrina. There's no doubt that Carnival has helped bring us all together and remind us why we love the unique culture, flavor, and textures that are New Orleans, Southeast Louisiana, and Mardi Gras. Let's hope that we can successfully see parades roll tomorrow. Meeting underway right now. As soon as we get word out of there, we will let everyone know. Errol Laborde, I want to personally thank you for making Mardi Gras even better by coming up with the idea of Lundi Gras and everything that has now led to this being such a huge day. I hope you enjoy yourself tonight at Spanish Plaza. We'll be watching you tomorrow night from the Rex Ball, and we'll talk to you soon. Happy Mardi Gras.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Errol Laborde here on WWL. I'm Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman.